Podcast Weekly. It's Isabel and Nora again.
Hello, everyone.
So we'd like to thank our sponsor, Elm Coffee Roasters, open in Pioneer Square on South Lake Union for takeout and soon indoor seating. Order coffee and more at elmcoffeeroasters.com.
Our next sponsor is The M. If you're looking for a place to live in the fall with student-friendly amenities, spectacular views, and a walking distance to campus, check out The M Seattle Apartments. They are the only student-living high-rise near UW, and they've recently dropped their rates on all of their floor plans. Visit themseattle.com for more information.
All right, thank you so much to our sponsors. So today we have a topic that both Nora and I think are very excited to talk about. Nora, do you want to give a little intro?
Yes, so this is a topic that we think could fill up a few episodes easily because it's just complicated and interconnected and intersectional, which is productivity and mental health. We have started this conversation during our first quarter of hosting the show, and we just felt like we had a lot more to say. So welcome back for part two.
Yes. We'd like to start off by saying that as we are nearing the end of the extreme COVID restrictions, at least knock on wood, in the Seattle area, I think it's a pretty common feeling for a lot of people to think that they have wasted an entire year of their life because the COVID pandemic was so unexpected and it was so painful. And a lot of people feel as though it brought out the worst of them, at least for me. I know like the pandemic and like the elevated levels of stress have exacerbated a lot of mental health conditions and have disrupted a ton of friendships and interpersonal connections and have interfered with academics and work, and the list goes on and on and on, not to mention physical health and feelings of safety and happiness. So we want to talk about the unspoken expectation around like a super productive quarantine and contrast that with the reality for a lot of people, and then talk about how we can navigate our feelings around lack of productivity in quarantine and maintain a healthy perspective on it.
I think for a lot of people, they felt like they are still stuck at the age that they were in before the pandemic started. So like, for example, for me, I turned 21 during the pandemic, but in no way, shape or form do I feel like I turned 21. And I think for a lot of people, it just felt like a very static year physically, obviously. And so we thought that it was a very common feeling for a lot of people to have felt like they missed a year. And we want to like highlight and talk about the kind of unspoken agreement, the societal agreement about what productivity during quarantine looks like, and how it can, how when someone doesn't adhere to that code of productivity, how that can affect their mental health.
Yeah. Like the Instagram version of quarantine where like you got super into like all this exercise and like you were still able to like do your work and your schoolwork at the same level as before. I feel like that's where the attention is in a lot of cases. But for nearly everyone, like the pandemic has negatively impacted them in some way. Obviously, like we're all navigating the same storm in very different boats, so it's negatively impacted people in different ways. But for the most part, it has interfered with the bandwidths of almost everyone in some way, shape, or form. Some people have been more productive in terms of work, but have had lower emotional bandwidths, and then vice versa for other people. And it's just all very individual, very, very dependent on other circumstances. But there's just this idea that like, if we weren't living it up this past year and like squeezing every opportunity out of quarantine, then it was a complete waste of time.
If you haven't packed or learned 10 new habits and 10 new musical instruments or like skills, then what were you doing, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I feel like I don't know. I've read a lot of literature on like emotions and emotional affect and how American culture really glorifies high expressivity, positive emotions. And because we weren't getting that same level during the pandemic, a lot of people feel as though like it was just a lot harder to experience that type of emotion during the pandemic. But the fact that like you might have been sad more often or any number of other emotions doesn't mean that like you are a failure, and it doesn't mean that you won't have a good like return to post-pandemic.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think you sort of highlighted two important points that we want to talk about, which is what we personally think the unspoken code is and what it looks like, and how that affects our idea of success and failure. You know, there is like this agreement that everybody is expected to go through the motion of a work or a school routine through an unbearably long hours and still have the energy to sustain a healthy social life and a good amount of sleep. And we think that with the current system that we have for both school life and work life, we don't think that that kind of productivity is sustainable without heavy impacts on your mental health. Mm-hmm. And as Isabel highlighted earlier, even though that there are heavy impacts on your mental health, you don't get to sort of take care of that without having a very convincing excuse, because there is no space mm-hmm. for that. And it's not kind of a societal value that has been adapted. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that we wanted to talk about is how there's like also this definition that is absolutely riddling to me that I think we sort of have agreed on as a society, which is how the more productivity, the higher amount of success you can obtain, and how just success is sort of like very interconnected with productivity. And mm-hmm. conversely, when you're not adhering to that societal expectation of productivity, people perceive you as a failure. And that to me is like an appalling conclusion, an appalling outlook to have on anybody who doesn't adhere to such an extremely unrealistic standard of productivity. So this is kind of an additional impact on mental health. So it's already extremely taxing. It's extremely mentally taxing to be adhering to that productivity code that is accepted by society. And on top of that, if you don't, and if you fail to do that, there is additional stress. And mm-hmm. I just think that nobody should have to go through that. And nobody should define failure or success in such a black and white perspective, especially as it pertains to mental health.
Mm-hmm. Like, the more productive you are doesn't make you a better person. The amount of stuff you can get done and your overall like positive contributions, you can't equate the two. And I also just feel as though you shouldn't feel pressured to lower your self-worth based on like what you can give to others, even though that's how society tries to make you feel. Like, it's just really, really draining and damaging that we're socialized to think that our worth isn't inherent, and that it is something that we have to like drain from ourselves. I just think that is the most disheartening thing that society teaches us.
Absolutely. It's so disheartening. I think that's a really encapsulating way of describing it. It is really disheartening because, as we both acknowledged in earlier episode, this is systemic. And so the way to change this will start from societal demand, but it has to change from a systemic perspective. So like the system is broken. So you don't have to sort of enforce it with your behavior and towards other people and towards your friends and family.
Yeah. And I'm also thinking in terms of like sexism. I've been having a lot of conversations around gender roles lately, and how sexism teaches women that we especially aren't worth it as people until we can give away every last drop of our energy, and how that kind of keeps us complacent in the patriarchy, and like it comes into play. And as we will talk about more in our upcoming episode, like this really relates back to capitalism and how deeply interwoven capitalism is in our society, and how that's incredibly damaging to mental health.
Absolutely. I think you bring up an extremely crucial point to point out that is not acknowledged and I think is easily missed. Honestly, as someone who experiences this as well and relates to what you just said, it just is, it's frustrating to say the least.
Yeah, definitely. It's so hard when we're made to feel as though we don't have value until we overextend ourselves to the point where we are just incredibly, incredibly drained. And it's so tough because every time we think we've done all we can, like something else comes up, and it's just very, very cyclical. And yeah, it's a tough pattern of thinking to break out of. I know, like, I am far, far from having fully broken out of this pattern for myself, but it just acknowledging it, I think, is really important.
So I think what you just said, Isabel, all I think ties really intimately with being able to forgive yourself and kind of grappling with the concept of self-forgiveness as it pertains to productivity. And this is something that we also want to talk about more in depth. But first, a message from our sponsors. Elm Coffee Roasters, open since 2015. Elm Coffee Roasters is devoted to high-quality coffee that's easy to brew at home and a joy to drink. At our roastery and cafe in Pioneer Square, Seattle, Elm obsessively roasts small patches of coffee that they source with a focus on sustainable practices that lift up the whole supply chain and protect the future of the coffee plant. Elm's goal is to make a truly exceptional cup of coffee and an experience you look forward to every day. Cafes in Pioneer Square and South Lake Union open now for takeout and soon dine-in service. Please use code PODCAST at elmcoffeeroasters.com for 15% off your next coffee order. Thank you again to our sponsors.
All right, so now we'd like to segue into self-forgiveness when we are less productive, which I believe is something we touched on in our first productivity episode, but didn't go into detail.
So Isabel, you mentioned that you recognize the pattern of self-criticism in you that sort of pops up when your productivity goes down. How have you been sort of grappling with the concept of self-forgiveness and just being able to make peace with like an association with being less productive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think first off, full disclosure, still something I'm very actively working on. I'm very, very far from where I would like to be, but also that relates to like guilt around lack of productivity, so I'm going to try to nix that. But I think for me, it's taking a scenario and then instead of me like imagining that like I am a close friend, like if I saw my close friend recently, like I've been having a lot of migraines and I haven't really been able to do a lot of work or as much work as I feel obligated to because of that. And I've been really hard on myself, but then I was thinking, if my close friend had a migraine and wasn't able to do as much work, would I think negatively of her? And the answer is most definitely no. So really just getting yourself out of the situation, trying to view it in as objective a way as possible. And then a second strategy is just remembering we are all having issues due to the pandemic in some way, shape, or form. And it's only natural that we are less productive now than ever before. And so just reminding yourself that like you are so far from alone, even if it seems on Instagram like everyone is just living it up during quarantine. So much easier said than done again, but reminding yourself that this period of time is temporary and it's not a reflection of you, and that you have so many other good qualities.
Yeah, it's not a reflection of your self-worth in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. What about you? What are your strategies?
Well, first of all, I want to say, like, what you said was beautiful. I think you highlighted something to me that was super interesting, which is, like, we are willing to extend a type of compassion and forgiveness to other people a lot more than we are willing to give ourselves. Even if you saw somebody in your situation, you were so willing to give them the type of forgiveness that you need. But when you're in that position, it's hard for you to give yourself that kind of compassion. And it's really interesting to me because I think it's important to recognize that, like you said, if you're willing to extend that kind of compassion to somebody else and you see other people extending it to you, then why are you preventing yourself from just accepting that compassion that you just deserve, you know? Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's definitely easier said than done. But other than the ones I've mentioned before, which the number one thing is just I'm actively fighting capitalism by not being productive. that's like my last resort. Like, if I really, really can't be productive, I'm just
same.
I'm fighting capitalism. It's fine.
I love that.
Yes. As someone who is dealing with a lot of mental health struggles, I try to remind myself of the progress that I've made. So rather than, you know, writing off a list of things that I have to get done today, I found that if I do just a tiny bit better than yesterday, I tell myself, okay, I've survived. This is good. Like, you're doing a good job. And I also changed my perspective on my understanding of productivity. That was a really big one for me because, like, my understanding of productivity was just encapsulation of, like, what society thinks is productive. Like, if society thinks this is how much you should be working yourself off every day, then that's what's right. But as I recognized that this is really toxic and started shifting that, I started counting the little tiny things that are kind of, like, hard for me to do every day as something productive. Like, as silly as it is, like, let's say I'm able to take out the garbage on time. I tell myself, well, hey, I did something that is productive. And, you know, just trying to focus on how much progress I've been making. And then on the other hand, I think it's really, really important to recognize that even if you, for whatever reason, one day, you're not really making as much progress as you've been doing, or not even one day, for a period of time, the way I think I try to forgive myself and give myself compassion is to recognize that my mental health struggles are physical and are real, and they impact me the same way that any other physical illness impacts a person. Because I think it's just super difficult to kind of, like, give yourself the grace to be like, yeah, your struggle is real and you deserve to take a break. And I think I 100% reinforce what you said, Isabel, about everything, as well as the fact that it is much easier said than done. And I am very much, it's still very much an area of, like, active improvement for me. But I hope that you find anything that me and Isabel have shared to be in some way invoking of helpful things to you.
Yes, everything you said was absolutely amazing and resonant. I think, yeah, like you said, just acknowledging that mental illness, like, you deserve as much grace as, like, a physical illness. Like, they can both be very debilitating. I think another thing is just reminding yourself that an inherent part of the human condition is you're gonna cause harm at some point. For me, I really struggle when I feel as though I've dropped the ball on a task or on a responsibility, and my having done so harms other people. But I realized that by being super hard on myself afterwards, I will only be causing more harm. And by giving myself a little more grace, I will be minimizing the overall net damage, and I will have an easier time most likely recovering from that. And I also think, like, when I forgive myself, it's easier for me to reach out to other people. It can be just a lot easier to see the solutions and to make a plan going forward when you have given yourself a little bit of a recovery period. Like, I turned in an assignment late because of my migraine, and I was like, this is going to, like, mess with, like, my professor's schedule in terms of grading. She's going to have to take out, like, a big extra chunk of time to grade it. But then I realized, like, me being super hard on myself was just delaying the amount of time it would take to get the assignment in the first place. And, like, also, she wouldn't want me to be that hard on myself about it either. So through giving myself a little more grace, trying to snap myself out of the spiral, I felt as though I was able to create a much clearer path to recover from that.
Absolutely. I'm really glad that, you know, you recognize, sort of like, you pinpointed where you were starting that spiral, and you sort of like logicked yourself through it. Because I totally relate to that. And I think a lot of the time it's like really hard for me to pull myself out of it. So I think hearing other people being like, oh, I have been there, is, I think, in a lot of ways, comforting.
I don't want to project onto other people, but I feel as though guilt and shame from having felt as though you've dropped the ball is super, super common. And also probably just like a part of the human condition, like experiencing some sort of like negative emotion around feeling as though you're not able to do everything that you feel is expected of you.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I think closing off this episode, we just really want to highlight how intimately interconnected mental health and productivity can be. And we recognize again that it's a systemic problem rather than a completely a societal one. I think we don't want how we're highlighting the societal agenda of productivity in this episode. We don't want that to imply that we don't recognize the systemic implications of productivity. But in this episode, we sort of wanted to highlight how societal expectation can impact and enforce that systemic and sort of like uphold it, and how that will negatively impact mental health. And we also want to highlight that, you know, mental illness can already severely impact productivity for very, very valid reasons. We just hope that this episode was a consolation to you in any way, and you were able to feel heard and relate to our struggles.
Yes, you summed it up so well. And I also think that this is super important, you know, like as more and more people are vaccinated. And I feel as though, like, at least in the Seattle area, like we're moving forward with the ease of restrictions and just the need to forgive ourselves in order to feel as though, like, we can create a brighter future after this pandemic and fight for everything that we really believe in. And yeah, the need to just like not dwell on the ways in which we feel as though like we haven't measured up, because like screw those measurements, they're so unnecessary and unimportant. And when we're able to shake those ideas, I feel like that's when a lot of healing and a lot of really positive change comes in. Yeah. Thank you all so much for listening. We appreciate you. Stay tuned for our next episode, which we're both very excited about.